Hey, welcome back to the MMA show. I am glad you're here today because I am having a great guest. He is going to teach us about ways to protect ourselves, our families, our legacies, because there's a lot of financial information that we just don't know. We don't get taught anywhere. And so we'll have to search it out. So I'm trying to bring some of that financial information to you. And today we are going to talk about how you can protect your assets and how you avoid probate and why you don't want to deal with probate. So that's on today's show. So I hope you like it. Please like, share, and subscribe. That's very important. We want to get this information out to as many people as possible. We want to help you fellow deplorables and making sure you're financially set. So please like, share, and subscribe. Please, I could really use some donations and support of the show. So if you could go to theamermayshow.com, I'm looking for angel investors that would donate 5, 10, 20, 100 bucks to help me continue doing this program. So that's theamermayshow.com, looking for angel investors. And while you're there at theamermayshow.com, click on the promo section because I've partnered with patriotic businesses that save you money and then they support the Amber May Show. So everybody's winning. We're supporting Patriots. You're getting a discount and they're supporting the Amber May Show. So check that out. Everything's going to be in the links in the description below. Join me on Telegram at the Amber May Show because I have more content that I share there and we can carry the conversation. Okay, so up next, I'm going to show you how you can protect your assets and build your legacy right now. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. When you're about to leave the earth, you need to make sure everything is set up for your family and nothing's left undone. And I have just the man to help us with some of our finances and some of our final arrangements. And that is Jim T. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
My pleasure, Amber.
So, I want to talk about something that's important because a lot of people aren't thinking about it, and I think they should. I'm a big proponent of wills and I will trust more than wills, but I want you to go in and dive into tell me why I want a trust over a will or why I would want a will over a trust, because my education has taught me that you want to go with a trust so you avoid probate. But what is probate? So I want to break down some of these big concepts so that my viewers get educated because you know what? No one teaches us about finances and nobody teaches us about all these things that we should do to really prepare our future and to leave a legacy for our family. So we have to seek this information out ourselves. And that's why I want to bring you on because you know about this stuff and you can help my audience make good decisions for themselves.
Well, thank you. The estate planning side of the business is a passion for me. I tell clients that I'm not a salesy type person. I like to give them advice, give them information, and help them or kind of guide them to a decision that makes sense for them. But I get a little passionate on the estate planning side because I have seen people die and get disabled with documents and without documents, and with documents is so much better. So I tell them if I get pushy, it's going to be in this area. Otherwise, I'll pretty much behave myself. So basically, pretty much everybody has an estate. An estate is just things that you own. It could be your home, your bank accounts, even your life insurance policies, vehicles, and so forth. Maybe you have a business. In this society that we live in today, it's a very litigious society. And no financial institution wants to do anything unless they have their backside covered. So what they want is documents. They want things in writing. They want them witnessed. They want them notarized. They just want to be protected so that if they do anything, they don't get in trouble for doing it. So documents are really important. 150 years ago, you probably could have written out your estate plan on a napkin at the corner saloon. And it would have worked fine, but no longer, not these days. So things are just becoming more and more complex. So there's basically three or four major areas when it comes to estate planning. One of them is probate, and probate is just it's a process of proving your estate. If you're going to leave your estate to someone, it's a process of going through the court system where the court supervises the transfer of your estate to your heirs. If you have no documents, they have a process for doing that. It's called dying intestate. Basically, your representative gets appointed by the court. Someone will get appointed, and then they'll have to, under the supervision of the court, gather your assets and determine who they're going to go to. And the state of Arizona has a template as to who's going to get your assets. And if you like that template, then, you know, that's probably very easy. You won't have to do anything. You won't have to spend any money to create a plan, but you're probably not going to like the outcome. However, you'll be deceased, and so you may not care anyhow, but everybody who you leave behind will care, mm-hmm. and they'll be saying things about you. So if you want good things said, do some planning, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. So probates is a big area. Another area is what's called the conservatorship. If you become disabled, incapacitated, unable to sign your name, even if you have like a TIA, let's say you're going to sell your home, and on the way down to the title company, it's husband and wife, and we'll pick on the husbands. Your husband has a TIA, has a mini stroke. And now you get to the signing and he can't sign his name. Mm-hmm. Well, that house is not going to get sold at that point. So what would happen in the absence of having documents is that you would have to go down and petition the court to watch over the management of your family finances on behalf of your husband. I always tell clients, if you like the motor vehicle department, you're going to love this deal.
Right.
I can't think of anything worse than having a court supervise Mm-mm. the management of my daily household finances. Mm-mm. So that's a big area. Control is another area. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Federal estate taxes is the fourth area. But these days, unless you have over $24 million as a couple or $12 million as a single person, federal estate taxes are not a huge issue. And okay. if you have more than that, that's an area of planning that's really very, very important. But control is the third area, or the fourth area, if you want to call it that. Control means having some degree of control of your assets after you leave them to your heirs. Now, if you have a simple will, for example, basically you're going to leave your assets to your heirs outright. And if you do that, you'll have no control over what happens after, you know, next. Mm-hmm. If they get sued, if there's a lawsuit against them, if they have creditor problems, if God forbid they're in a divorce situation and there's a toxic spouse involved, you could very well put those assets up for being taken away by adverse parties. So, and then if you're going to leave money to kids and grandkids these days, some kids are really good at managing money. Others are spendthrifts. When my kids were younger, I always thought that if I would have died at that point, they probably, probably the first word that would have come to their minds is Maserati. But at the Maserati dealership, they're great. They're all great money managers today. In fact, they take after their mom in that area. They do a great job. But so if you have kids or grandkids that are spendthrifts, or if they're into substance abuse, if there's substance abuse issues, creditor issues, you can control in your estate planning documents how money is protected for them. So, and we can get into that more if you'd like to, but basically those are the four areas, the four reasons for doing estate planning. Probate is probably the easiest to avoid. There's ways of doing that. For example, setting up a payable on death on your bank accounts.
Right. I was going to say, and then we could do that also for our mortgage, right? Like on the title, not mortgage, on the title, we could have like a payable or a way to transfer that to your heirs, right? Couldn't you do that?
Right. You can use what's called a beneficiary deed to transfer real estate. And that works very, very well. No probate. Again, the control issues may be a problem there. So, but it's an inexpensive way to get the job done. So if you have a simple estate, avoiding probate using a payable on death clause for bank mm-hmm. accounts, a transfer on death accounts for any investment accounts that you may have. IRAs are usually beneficiary designated. Life insurance is beneficiary designated. Mm-hmm. So if you have a simple estate, it's probably pretty easy to avoid probate. Conservatorship is another issue. You can use a power of attorney, financial power of attorney, but there's no law in the state of Arizona, at least this is what my attorney friends tell me, there is no law in the state of Arizona that requires any financial institution to accept your power of attorney.
Oh.
And when they get stale, and by stale, what I mean by that is when they get a couple of years old, some of the financial institutions don't like to take them.
Oh.
They're afraid if Amber has given Jim power of attorney over her finances 3 years ago, Amber may have given her husband Phil power of attorney after she gave me power of attorney. And what the bank or financial institution fears the most is that Jim comes in, takes the money, and then Phil shows up a week later and he's looking for the same dollars, but Jim has them now. So they
and just that won't. Really could happen. I mean, that I know that could happen. I know that had to have happened. I'm sure of it.
Well, when I look at the creative things that people are doing now to cheat each other, I'm sure it's happening out there. And I know that financial institutions are concerned about it because they oftentimes will not take a power of attorney if it's a couple of years old. They're really adamant about that. And you can't blame them. So
right.
That's where a living trust sometimes becomes the document of choice. And a living trust is just simply a financial arrangement where you hold your assets in a document called the living trust. And I'll explain that a little bit in a moment. But basically, assets held in a living trust will avoid probate and they will avoid conservatorship.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber May's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper, and then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury, so the adults get to use the MyPillow, and they're phenomenal. And right now, there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber May does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well. are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So, again, my attorney friends tell me that if you own a home, you probably should have a living trust. So if you're looking for the guideline there, should I do this or should I not? If you're a homeowner, living trust is probably going to be the option for you.
Again, I believe in them. I really do. Yeah. I think they're a great product for people. I think they're great protection for people because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that there's a lot of fees and associated with going through probate if you have to go through probate, and it possibly could eat away at whatever assets or whatever money that you want to leave to your heirs. Is that true?
Right. Well, that's, first of all, probate is going to be time consuming. There's going to be some expense to it. It's a court supervised process. Years ago, I got a call from my church. They had a fellow that had passed away and left a good part of his estate to the church. He left a little bit to his girlfriend and some to his siblings. But they called me because he had a simple will, and it was it wasn't written on a napkin, but it was pretty close to a napkin. And he had designated one of the bank trust companies in town to settle his estate for him, but it was too small and they wouldn't do it. So the church called me and asked me if I would act as a personal representative. So I thought, heck, I'll do it. I'll probably get some great stories out of it, which I did. So the gentleman had a house and not too much else. He had an older vehicle and he had some things in the house that we yard sailed off. But the house was the part that took the longest. It actually took over a year and a half to get the estate settled, and it was very, very small. If we would have had a living trust set up, I probably could have had that estate settled in 3 months or less. The house was sold quickly. My biggest problem, very honestly, was the guy had a lot of mature fruit trees in the backyard, and I petitioned the court to allow me to set up an account with the water department. In fact, I told them, I told the court I'd pay the water bill myself and then just, you know, submit it for payment in the estate later, but they would not allow me to do that. Hmm. So the if it wouldn't have been for a nice neighbor who threw his garden hose over the fence and watered those trees, they all would have died.
Oh.
You know, it's not a huge thing, but it just really bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind being bugged, I guess, and paying for the privilege of being bugged, then mm-hmm. probate would probably be wonderful for you. If you don't like that idea, then, you know, heck, do some planning up front.
And it's also important for parents to have something in writing for their children. I recently had a friend, she had a tragic accident at Lake Pleasant, and she was the only parent to her children. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she had anything written down or not, but I'm just going to assume she did. But if she didn't, I don't know. I didn't get into those details with the family, but then you're leaving it up to the court to figure out who's going to take your kids. And you might not want some of those people to take care of those kids once you pass on. So it's super important to have those documents in your estate planning. And can you tie that into a trust as well?
Yes. When we do living trusts, and I have to give you a disclaimer at this particular point, I'm not an attorney. I can't give anybody any legal advice, but I am a certified legal document preparer under a program that's was set up early in the 2000s, early in this century by the Arizona Supreme Court. So at that point, we were tested. We had to take a test, and I have to maintain a certain amount of continuing education every 2 years. But it's a court-supervised program that allows us to prepare legal documents without the direct supervision of an attorney. Again, we can't give legal advice, although we can tell people how things work, and we can give them generally available information, and we cannot protect, we can't grant what's called attorney-client privilege. So what I tell clients is, look, if you're gonna get mad at each other or do something dastardly, and the court comes and asks for my records about you guys, I'm going to have to cough them up. I'm going to have to give them to them. So I can't protect you in that area. But other than that, I can help you by providing legal documents. So we do them as a portfolio. And by portfolio, I mean that you're going to get a living trust. You're going to get last wills and testaments, one for each of you if you're a couple, financial powers of attorney, healthcare powers of attorney, living wills, instructions as to whether you want to be cremated or a traditional funeral with the El Camino and the flowers in the back, that kind of stuff. Basically, you can put everything in writing and have it set up so that if something happens to you where you're incapacitated or die prematurely, your family has the written documents that would allow them to get your estate settled very quickly and very inexpensively.
You know how much that is such a benefit for your loved ones, because once you're gone, the grief is just overwhelming and there's so many decisions to be made. So my dad died about a year ago. My best friend died 9 months prior to him. And so you're just devastated and it's hard to make good decisions. So if you could already make those final decisions for your family, you're serving them big time because they're already in a lot of pain. It's hard to think when you're in so much pain. I don't care if you're 2 or 102, it's always too soon for you to die to your loved ones. So I think this is great that you're talking about the subject because I've walked through it myself and it's hard. It's hard to make those decisions.
It's and Amber, you touched on a real good subject here. When people are in pain, emotional pain, if it's a mom or a dad that's just passed, or even a favorite uncle or aunt, you have beneficiaries there. If there's any family conflicts, and my wife, Mary used to say at one point, gee, our family is kind of dysfunctional. And I said, oh, honey, every family is dysfunctional to some greater or lesser degree. But when you add money into the picture, if there's dysfunction at all, and again, I think every family has it just gets amplified. So now you've got people that are hurting. If there's any sibling rivalries, they're going to be amplified at that point. It's easy for people to not trust, distrust. So what I tell families is this, look, decide how it's your estate. You decide how it's going to be given out to your heirs, but then put it in writing and make it very succinct so that there's no confusion as to what's going to happen there. If you can do that, then it just kind of tones the whole situation down. It makes people more willing to trust each other. It's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing. And they'll be less fighting, just like you said, less fighting. A lot of things will go easier for your loved ones because it just adds so much drama. I've seen this happen and it helps prevent a lot of the drama from occurring. So especially your final wishes, because someone might think you want to be cremated and then someone else might say, no, she wanted to be buried or he wanted to be buried. So that's also a point of contention, and they're already hurting because you're gone. So let's just solidify that and put in writing what your wishes are for your last parties, so to speak, or your final send off. I think it's important. It's something that I'm working on myself. I'm trying to put something in writing for myself. So if I go, my husband knows exactly what I want and where I want to be buried and the songs I want to sing or I don't want to sing, or, you know, the church I want to go to. Like, I want all of it taken care of. That way he has ease and he doesn't have to be stressed out about all this decision making. It's already done, because that's a very stressful time in a family's life, is when someone passes. So it's you're saving your loved ones is really what you're doing.
Right.
Can you add those to a trust, or is that a separate document, your final planning with your funerals and stuff?
Well, we, again, in the portfolio, it's a series of documents. So if you want to be cremated, or if you want a traditional funeral, or if you want your ashes scattered at Lambeau Field, as I do, although Lambeau Field probably wouldn't be very happy about that. I probably shouldn't have disclosed the fact that that's what I'd like. So now they'll be watching my family members.
That's exactly right. Game.
But yes, you can state your wishes, and I think it's good, because if you've got four kids, you probably have four different opinions as to how things should happen, and they're all going to be very adamant, and they're all loving, and they all want mm-hmm. the best for you. But if it's four different opinions, that's just not going to end well. So just better to state the way you would like things done. And that way it's a far easier when it happens, just to have people sit down and say, well, I know what you're saying here, but here's what mom or here's what dad wanted done. Here it is in writing. They signed mm-hmm. it in the presence of witnesses. It's notarized. So let's do it the way they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that works very, very well.
Is it like this long, drawn out process? Is it hard to do like a trust?
No, it's actually it's pretty easy. When we draft them, we have a meeting with the clients up front and ask them about their family and what they want to do, what they have in terms of assets, and what their plans are for them. And then it's our job to take their desires and put them in writing and do it in a fashion that it's understandable, but also legal. So we don't, we try to avoid the legalese. I remember one time doing a seminar at a church about estate planning, and a gal came up to me afterwards and she said, I have a living trust, would you take a look at it? And so I looked at it, and it was the most convoluted thing I'd ever seen in my life. But far be it from me to criticize another legal person's work. So I said, why don't you show it to your kids and see what they think? And so she did. And they said, oh, mom, get rid of this thing. It's too hard to understand. So you want your wishes in writing, and you want them understandable, but also legal, so that they're binding. And We put a clause in our documents that basically says, if you contest the trust, you are treated as if you were never born. Basically, you're disinherited. Now, we don't want to disinherit anybody, but it's a way of keeping mm-hmm. sibling rivalry to a manageable level mm-hmm. during a period of time when everybody's emotions are running to the maximum mm-hmm. anyhow. Mm-hmm. So I remember a situation one time where a gal came into town to settle her grandmother's estate. And she gave me a call after the initial meeting, and she said, I want to come to the office. And I said, okay. And so she came in. I said, what's the problem? And she said, well, everybody is fighting over grandma's Kachina dolls. And I said, good grief, you know. So I said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read two paragraphs in the document. The first one being where grandma appointed you to settle her estate. And the second one being where you could be disinherited if you really want to, you know, argue about the dispositions and the trust. So she did that, and she called me back the next day. And it's kind of classic the way she said it. She said, I read those two paragraphs, and after that, you could have heard a pin drop in the carpet.
In the carpet. Yes.
Everybody behaved. And she said, we got everything settled. And so it's just important to have mm-hmm. your documents set up in such a way that the human nature part of things is addressed within them.
Yeah, because you don't want to wait till it's too late. We never know if we're going to have a health crisis where we will be incapacitated to make decisions. And so if you don't have someone already set up, then you are, again, putting your life in the hands of the court, and they may not make a great decision for you, but if you don't already have that prepared, then that's the only choice you have. So this is good while you're still able to do these things, to not put it off, because this is one of those things, it's so easy to say, oh, I'll do it later. And then later never comes. And now you're in a really bad situation. And I think that clause is brilliant, because nobody wants to be disinherited, and it does relieve some of that tension. So that's brilliant work. I think that's phenomenal.
Usually what happens, Amber, is these things get done when there's a death or incapacity in the family. you know, who gets up in the morning and says, I think I'll go have my living trust done today?
Right.
I don't, and I don't think too many other people do either. But if they see something happening in the family, and it could even be the distant family, mm-hmm. which is even better, if they see something happening where someone has passed away or they're incapacitated and bad things are happening, that does motivate people to get their own documents done. So
let me ask you this. If, like, let's say somebody who's going to inherit whatever they're going to inherit, and they have a company that's going after them financially because they owe them money, can they put a claim on stuff within the trust?
Well, a trust is kind of like, it's called a revocable living trust, which mm-hmm. means it's revocable, changeable while you're alive. And it's like your alter ego. So Amber, if you get sued by somebody, the living trust is not going to protect you. However, if you pass away and leave your assets to Phil and your children, if something happens where you get sued, let's just say it's your kids. I'm going to go down to your kids. So if you leave your trust or your assets in trust to your children, mm-hmm. and they stay in trust, they're creditor protected, they're protected from lawsuits, and they're protected even from toxic spouses. The reason that they're protected is while they're in trust, they're really considered your assets. They're not your kids' assets until they come out of the trust. So that's where the protection comes in. So you may not get creditor protection for yourself. There's other ways of doing that while you're alive. But the living trust, and that's a great question, by the way, because a lot of people think they hear the word trust and they say, well, I'm going to be protected. My assets are going to be protected while I'm alive. But that's not true. But after you pass, when those assets go down to your beneficiaries, if they're left in trust and the beneficiaries keep them in trust, they are creditor protected, they're lawsuit protected, and they're protected from the toxic spouse situation.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Now, is there anything else that I've missed that we should cover on this topic with wills and trusts? Because I need to have you back on. I think you're very intelligent in this realm of finances and things like that. So I'd love to have you back on because you're someone I trust and I would like my viewers to be able to trust you. But is there something we should be talking about that I may have missed on this episode?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to speak to the intelligent part. I'm not sure how intelligent I am as opposed to or compared to others, but I've done this for a long time. I've seen what works and what doesn't work. And I've been able to figure out, hey, let's go with the stuff that works well and let's avoid the decisions that don't work well. But when it comes to the estate planning side, I think my advice would be there's a lot of nuances, there's a lot of ways of doing things, and you can really make your documents conform to the needs of your family. Nobody knows your family, your kids, better than you do. You kind of know who gets along with whom, who's, you know, if you put them in a room and who's the alpha person, who's going to take charge or who's going to try to take charge. Who's going to try to not let that person take charge? You just think in terms of all of those things. And when we create documents, we try to create them with those ideas in mind. We try to do things in a way that's going to actually work efficiently with your family. Mm-hmm. So if I could say anything about estate planning, you can go online and you can get a trust at an inexpensive price. And basically they'll get you past probate, they'll get you past conservatorship if you do title the assets in the trust, which a lot of people don't do. But if you do that, they're going to work for you, but they're not perhaps going to work as well as a hand-tailored trust would work.
Oh, I agree with that.
You can go to Goodwill and get a suit and it may fit you, but it may not look as nice as an Armani. I'm not saying Armanis are, I know, are pretty expensive, but I don't think you have to do expensive to get a trust that's tailored to you and really is a good fit for yourself and your family.
How do people get in touch with you if this is something that's been on their mind and they're like, that's it, I need to just get it done, get it out of the way so I know we're protected? How do people get in touch with you?
The easiest thing is probably go to our website, which is EPSWealthManagement.com. And we have a place there where you can check in on our phone number, give my wife Mary a call. She sets our appointments. She's our office manager. And go there and get our contact information. The initial appointment, we do not charge. There's no charge for that. So we'll talk with you, find out what you want to do, what your situation is like. I'll explain things to you. Again, I can't give you legal advice, but as I told you before, I do know how to read and I know how things work, and I can explain to you how things work.
And if someone does need legal advice, I'm sure you have lawyers that you can put them in touch with. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Great. Absolutely. And if you do need legal advice, we are going to do that. We're not going to try to step in and take the place of an attorney if you need an attorney.
Cool. Great. So the links will be in the description below. So always check that out. So it's EPSWealthManagement.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Fantastic.
And actually, EPSWealthManagement.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wealth of information with my audience today.
Well, thank you, Amber. I really appreciate it. It was more painless than I thought. So,
we'll definitely have to have you back on. There's so many more things to talk about, you know, as far as estate planning and finances and planning your growing your wealth and your legacy. There's so much more to it than just this, but this is an important aspect and I wanted to start with it because I do believe in living trusts. I think they're very important. It's something that we do in our family, and I wanted my viewers to have this knowledge that they may or may not have had before. So, appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate you doing what you do with your viewers. About 70% of the people in the country do not have an estate plan. And this is really good that you would educate your viewers to the necessity of getting something done.
So folks, I would love you to share this with all your friends so that they also have the preparations that they need. Make sure you join me on Telegram at the Amber May Show. I add more content there. I'm always adding content. So join me there. We'll join more of the discussion. You can chat with me back and forth in Telegram. And we will see you again. I'm going to definitely have Jim back. So thank you guys for joining me today on the Amber May Show. And we will see you next time. What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
It's because of a mutual friend of ours that I was actually connected with you. Michael, the artist, the Commander's artist, he's a friend of yours and he's done some work for you. He's designed the logos on this show, and the Commander's artist he's a great guy, isn't he? He speaks very highly of you.
Now, Michael is a terrific American patriot. And if anybody, I hope that you will promote his website and him. He does, the artwork that he does is very, very patriotic. And one of the my sort of big, you know, big things with Michael is Michael came into my life through this political persecution journey that my family and I went through. And he stepped up in a big way to help us raise some money for our legal defense. And Michael and I have become very good friends, and he's a terrific, faithful man, and I love him.
So visit thecommandersartist.com today, use promo code AMBER, and save some money at checkout.